rainbow way up high. There's a place that I've heard of once in a lullaby. Somewhere over the rainbow, two birds gonna fly. Up where the clouds are far behind me, where troubles melt like lemon drops away above the chimney tops. That is where you're gonna find me.
Hi, Livingston.
Hi, Mark.
How are you?
I'm good. Listen, wait a minute before we go any further. I'm on a cell phone.
You're on a cell phone?
Yeah.
That's okay. It sounds great.
Okay, good, because I had I'm stopped. I'm not moving. I'm in one single place. I will not move from this place until our interview is through. Are you getting a good, clean reception?
It is beautiful.
Okay, great. Then you don't mind if I, in fact, stay on it then for a...
Absolutely not.
Okay, thanks, but I was feeling guilty about it because I wasn't doing what I was told.
Don't feel guilty. It's okay.
All right.
I'll assuage your guilt. Do you know that you were on the show last year as well?
When was I?
You were on promoting a CD that you put out. I think it was last year or the year before.
I think it was been the year before, but yeah. Okay.
It was the year before, yeah. How
Excellent.
Are you?
I'm really well.
You know, you do so many things. Obviously, I remember telling you last time around that your rendition of Over the Rainbow just knocked me out completely.
Oh, I recall, Mark. I do remember you telling me that. Okay, now my brain is kicking in, and I've got you. Yeah, thank you.
I just completely got blown away by that, and I still love it. And of course, you have already been an author before, because, as a matter of fact, I ended up reading my child a story called Pajamas, and there I look, and your name's on there.
Yes, that's right.
You also wrote something?
I wrote another book for Harcourt Brace, another children's book called Can I Be Good, which is, of course, a rhetorical question. No! and had a great time doing that, too.
That's something that I think a lot of people who have children always say to themselves, I'd love to write a kid's book because we know what kids want.
Yes.
What was it that inspired you to decide to write these things?
Well, first off, my wife and I, Maggie and I, have no children.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a little bit, and as a result, when you don't have children, the reality is that you stay a child yourself. And
uh-huh.
so I just, so here I am behaving like a child in a grown-up body and going ahead and just write those children's stories.
That's funny. But I would assume that you have plenty of nieces and nephews and things.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You're one of, what, four or five children?
Well, I am one of five.
Five,
and
right.
Our oldest brother, Alex, passed on a couple of years ago, but there are four of us left to fight the fight, and,
right.
And we do it indeed.
What an incredibly musical family you have. Obviously, everybody knows James, but I mean, the rest of your siblings, pretty musical family.
Well, Kate has just gotten through with a brand new record that sounds really, really good. She's made a wonderful record, and my little brother Huey, he can get on stage and throw it down.
Were your parents musical at all?
Yes, the answer is there was a great deal of music around our house all the time, and my mother was a trained singer and really wanted a career as a singer, but of course she was a young adult in the late 40s, and it just was not a time that was conducive. Popular music and rock and roll and sort of the widespread ability to make a living as a singer was still in the future.
Hmm. You know, I'm looking at your background here, and of course, all the CDs you put out, the books. But in 1989, you started teaching at Berklee College of Music, and obviously, you're now a full professor there.
Yes.
And you have written a book that is part of a course you teach there, right? Isn't it Stage Performance Techniques, a course that you teach there?
Yes, I teach a course called Stage Performance Techniques, and actually the course is a great deal more fun than the name would imply. It's a pretty dry name. But, Mark, I personally hated school and had a terrible time in school, and when I got to be a professor and had the opportunity to write my own class, I said, this is going to be fun. We are going to party our brains out for an entire semester. And we have a very, very good time.
Mm. And the book is called Stage Performance. It's put out by Pocket Books.
Yeah, so Pocket Books picked it up. I wrote it, and Pocket Books picked it up. And thank you, Simon & Schuster, for doing that.
Now, there was a rumor that Simon & Schuster was actually owned by the Simon that Carly Simon was, and of course that was at one point put your sister-in-law, but that's not true, though, is it?
No, I think that Carly's father did have a hand in Simon & Schuster, and it was a but he was out of it fairly early. That's my understanding, but boy, I could be wrong again. And to paraphrase David Nyan, often mistaken, never in doubt.
So you must enjoy Boston. I know you were born here, but you were raised elsewhere.
Well, I was raised in North Carolina, but I've been living in Boston. I'm 49 now, and I've been back here since I was 16. So I've put some time in.
Now, is your wife musically inclined as well?
Well, Maggie and I write songs together, and she's mainly contributes to me in the lyric department. She's a fine lyricist, and she's also a fine editor. And although she did not edit this book, Stage Performance, for me, she edits a lot of my songs, and it's really great. It's a nice collaboration.
As someone who's been on the stage for music as well as comedy, one of the things that really strikes people, you know, the biggest fear people have in this country is not of dying, is not of being mugged or killed. The biggest fear people have is public speaking. How do people relax on stage? How do you go in there without having such terrible stage fright?
Well, first off, it is a process, but I speak about this a great deal in my book, and the real issue here is to walk on stage, and what happens is that people in their nervousness on stage, one of the things they tend to do is they tend to rush. They tend to push too early. They get worried. They go, I'm going too fast, and I'm falling, and I can't get up, and they just dissolve in panic.
Mm.
So the thing to do is the more nervous you are, the more you need to slow down. Guess what? When you stand up on stage, nobody's going anywhere until you do something. People see you on stage, and they just suspend their reality and enter yours.
Mm.
So what's necessary is to just wait. Just be still. The assumption always is, Mark, that your job on stage is to put out. But actually, just the opposite is true. Your job on stage is to take in. Where are you? How do you feel? Who's there? What do they look like? What are they doing? And when you fully evaluate the situation that you find yourself in, then you start slowly adding what you are to that mix. And for instance, how you perform, or the type of speech you give, and the manner in which you speak, is very different if you're speaking to 10 people in a small conference room, as opposed to 200 people in a cafeteria someplace.
Mm-hmm.
So this notion of absorbing your environment and having the sense that you want each phrase, each part that you speak to go from you to them. So you'll say something, and then look at them. Did they get it? You play a chord. You sing a phrase. Are they getting that chord? Are they getting that phrase? And they'll tell you. By looking at them, you can see how you're doing.
Mm.
Now, it's also essential that there be an understanding when you go in front of people. And that understanding is this. Normally, they didn't ask you to be in front of them. It was you who wanted to be in front of them. It was you who agreed to be in front of them. They have the right, and this is where people get very nervous, and this is a very tough thing to do. But when you stand in front of people, they have the right to reject what you're offering. When I stand in front of an audience, that audience has the right to reject my music. And I have the right to let that rejection break my heart.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's okay. It's heartbreaking, but it's not fatal when people reject your music or your ideas.
I think it's obviously if you're playing music that you've written and stuff that's from your heart, it can affect your heart as well. But
yes, it breaks your heart.
Yeah,
by the way, it doesn't have to be your music or your idea. You can be acting in a play, and when an audience doesn't like it, breaks your heart. It makes you sad.
Yeah, same thing when you're doing comedy. I know that for a fact.
Absolutely.
Even when they don't boo you or they just don't respond to you, it's really heart-wrenching.
Yes, it's sad, but they have the right to reject what you offer.
Mm.
And if they do, it's not because they're dumb or idiots or don't know enough. I listen to people explain about their beautiful audience in the most derogatory of terms. These people don't have to like you. It's nice when they do, and I'm honored when an audience likes me. But it's not part of the job description. You're going to love me.
Mm-hmm.
The job description that I like is, I'm going to love you. Period.
Hmm.
Whether you like me or not makes no difference in my love and respect for you. And that makes it possible to go on stage, and if they don't like what I do, it just makes me sad. I mean, it would be like your kid telling you that they hate you.
Hmm.
You don't hate your kid back.
Right.
No, it just breaks your heart. Because you're going to continue to love them.
Talking with Livingston Taylor, the book is called Stage Performance from Pocket Books, and it will teach you a little bit about flying high on stage. And off stage, you fly high as well. I guess you like to be a pilot, huh?
I am a pilot. I'll tell you, Mark, I love flying airplanes.
I have friends that are pilots of small planes out of Norwood. And you ever fly into Norwood Airport?
I have been to Norwood many, many times.
Yeah.
The Wiggins Aviation there, and they are a helpful and a fine flight service center. And Wiggins is a great place. Great place to learn to fly, actually.
Mm. Well, next time you're in Norwood, you should call me. We can go for a fly. I'd love to fly with you somewhere.
That would be great because I also fly aerobatics. Not in my plane, but I get a decathlon. And or go with an instructor up in a pits and fly loops and rolls.
Well, that you can do on your own, but I don't want to join you for that, Livingston.
No, I would never do that to the uninitiated. That beats you up for sure.
Yeah, and I know you work a lot with the charities in the area. Anything at all you got coming up? Any performances coming up we should know about?
Well, sure. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff. I've got this weekend, actually, I'm working on Saturday at Babson College. I'm working there with the Newton Symphony Orchestra at Babson College at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And I'm very much looking forward to that. That's basically a Pops concert.
Mm-hmm.
Got a bunch of symphony charts, and we'll go and do that, and it's just going to be, that's going to be
what
fun.
Else is coming up around the country, because this is being heard by everybody, so.
Well, around the country, I'm, oh gosh, you know, I'm busier than a Chinese chicken. I'm off to Ohio, and I'm off to, I'm busier than a margarita at a Jimmy Buffett concert. I'm busy! I'm off to Ohio. I've got the best way to get my schedule is to just punch me up at livetaylor.com.
Uh-huh.
livetaylor.com, and my website knows my schedule far better than I do.
And of course,
sort of times and locations and all that sort of information. Mark.
And if you hit in Liz Taylor by mistake, then you'll come to a different schedule.
What, LizTaylor.com? Oh, gosh, that's right. Or now we've also got Liv Tyler.
That's right, yes.
Now, I can tell you, when I was young, and Elizabeth Taylor was at the absolute height of her career, and I was young and my voice was sort of high, and I sounded female, and I would tell people, say, well, who's this? And I go, well, it's Liv Taylor. And they go, Liz Taylor? No. And I try to get my voice lower. No. And so I've gone from being mistaken for Liz Taylor to Liv Tyler. And say I say, in both cases, I'm in lovely company.
And again, folks, it's Liv, L-I-V, Taylor, TAYLOR.com on the internet.
It.
And get down there, and can they send you emails from there, too?
They can send me emails, and they can do all kinds of things, absolutely.
Cool. Well, it's a pleasure talking to you again, Livingston, and hopefully we'll do
Mark,
it again.
Mark, I can't thank you enough for letting me fill up your airways for a while, and it's great to speak with you, too, sir.
Take care.
All right, you too, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Livingston Taylor.